Coleman and Astor by Michael McStay, with Stephen Thorne as Inspector Ronald Coleman and Joe Dunlop as Sergeant Fred Astor. Fools rush in.
More coffee?
Hmm?
I asked if you'd like more coffee.
No. Thank you.
Oh, come on, Ronnie. What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong.
Is it the jaw?
No, it's not. There's nothing wrong.
You know how I feel about that. Heaven knows we've discussed it enough. There are so many other things you could be doing.
Margaret, it is not the job.
So there is something. Is Superintendent Beecham not cooperating on your promotion?
I'm not even sure I want promotion. The higher up you go, the further away you get from actual crime.
But that's what you always complain about. The effect the job has on you. Remember, man's inhumanity to man.
I didn't say that.
I know you didn't. Robbie Burns said it. You haven't said anything for 2 days.
Look, you know I don't like bringing the job home.
Then it is the job. Now, why didn't you say? It is Superintendent Beecham, isn't it? You're just not getting on with her.
Actually, Babs and I get on very well.
Oh.
It's Fred Astor.
Oh, but you've always got on so well with him.
And I still do.
Then what's wrong with him?
I'm worried about him.
And that's what all this has been about.
Well, I'm sorry if it's been obvious. I wasn't aware. Well, I could scarcely come home with a brave little smile and say I'm worried about Fred. That's Mrs. Dale's diary.
Oh, well, you'd better drink your coffee and get off to work.
You're not in the least bit interested in Fred, are you?
I'm very fond of him, and I don't like to think of him being at all unhappy. But if you don't want to talk about it, I don't want to intrude.
Good grief! The last 5 minutes have been like 5 weeks.
I suppose it's his wife.
How can you possibly know that?
Men who are separated from their wives always have problems.
Margaret Coleman's law of domestic cause and effect.
It's true. Men are mostly bluster. Really, they're quite dependent on women. They lurch through the frightened years between their mothers and their wives, making lots of noise and holding on to each other for support. But once they get married...
She drove me to drink. That's the one thing I'm indebted to her for.
What? Oh, that's that silly red-nosed comic, isn't it?
W.C. Fields, and he's not silly. You may well be right about the red nose.
You can protest, but you couldn't get along without me.
I do not protest. I could not get along without you, and I never want to try to get along without you. I love you. I just wish our life together didn't have to start before 10 o'clock in the morning when your mind starts to operate.
So what is Fred Astor's problem?
Well, as it happens, I think it is his wife.
Oh. Has he been seeing her again?
Hardly. The reason he asked for a posting down south was to put as much distance between himself and Carrie.
Then why has he suddenly got problems?
Benny Crenshaw's coming out soon. Well, he's the man she was having the affair with. She used to visit him regularly until he was moved to the Isle of Wight.
Now he's being released?
Yep, he's done his full time. That's one of the reasons he was moved to Parkhurst. Violent.
And Fred thinks that...
Well, I think that Fred has never really given up hope that he and Carrie... Well, now that Crenshaw's coming out, he realises that it's make or break time.
Oh, but surely you must know...
You just explained how dependent we are on our women. As long as there was some hope... Now Fred has to face the fact that she'll go off with Crenshaw and it really is all over.
Well, there's nothing you can do.
Well, my concern is that he's going to foul up on the job. There's lots of little things he just isn't doing. Oh, I can cover, but it makes life a little harder. You know Fred, he's my right hand.
He's a professional, Ronnie. It'll sort itself out. He'll come to terms with it.
I know that. But I can't watch over him all the time. He only has to fall down badly on the job once. Well, Babs is like a human hoover. The smallest mess finds itself sucked up onto her desk and she's merciless on those who make it.
You said you liked her.
Well, I do. I like her and I respect her. And for just those reasons.
Poor Fred.
Poor all of us. Any rocket launched by Superintendent Babs is bound to pass through me.
Terence Duggan. Does the name mean anything to you, Inspector?
Should it?
If you're in touch with terrorist activities on the mainland...
I'll read the file.
Not necessary. Terence Duggan was convicted for his part in a bomb plot 7 years ago. IRA. We believe he was running a number of active cells, but we only got him for minor involvement. An inclement judge sent him away for 10.
And what's our interest in him?
He comes out tomorrow. A model prisoner, full remission, found God in prison.
What had he gone down for?
I'm not in the mood for that sort of thing, Inspector.
Nor am I, ma'am. Well, you don't expect me to take that seriously, do you? The number of cons who get religion inside is legion. A nice cushy number, polishing the altar brass and working a full remission.
I'm aware of that. I don't take it seriously. But in Duggan's case, well, he's been very thorough. Bible classes, hours spent closeted with the padre. The end product being a full born-again Christian who has renounced violence and is positively relishing the prospect of spreading the good word to an evil outside world.
Well, goody. That should make our job a little easier. You still haven't explained our interest in him.
We believe he's an important cog in the terrorist machine. He knows who the big boys are.
And you want me to ask him who those people are? Why hasn't he told the governor, or the padre?
Because, as he explained to the padre, although he has discovered the joy of the Lord's teachings and knows that his own sins can be expiated only by the grace of his Maker, there's nothing in the Bible that says that Jesus was a grass.
It's a point of view you have to respect.
I don't have to respect it, and I don't. The man's laughing at us. Moreover, due to an oversight by some moron at the Home Office, there's no deportation order against him. He's about to walk out of Barkhurst and vanish back into the network. The next we shall hear of Terence Duggan is when some poor devils have had their limbs blown off in another bomb outrage.
It seems our hands are tied.
Not mine. I want somebody to go out to see him before he walks free and put the fear of his newfound God into him. Let him know that we know.
Tomorrow? Then I shall have to get out there this afternoon.
Sergeant Astor.
Mum?
I'd rather he went.
Parkhurst? I'm quite happy to go, a day out on the island.
Exactly. Wife. It's not a day out. I want Duggan frightened.
Well, if he really has got religion, I think that...
Astor understands the Duggans of this world. He might succeed in getting my message across. If Duggan has got religion, I'm sure he'll find it in his heart to forgive us our doubts.
I'm sure that
Inspector, I once overheard a sergeant, a female, I hasten to add, describe you as an old softy.
Well, that should look very well on my assessment for promotion.
We all get the best results when working to our strengths. I'm aware of yours.
I could send Sergeant
Inspector.
Quinn.
Inspector.
Yes, ma'am. Sergeant Astor it is. Is that all?
Yes, thank you. Inspector.
Ma'am?
I don't necessarily agree that you are an old softy. Different strengths.
Thank you, ma'am.
On this occasion, I prefer to use the bludgeon rather than the rapier.
Yes, ma'am.
I've explained all this before, Sergeant. What is it your name is?
Astor.
Sergeant Astor. I've already explained that all that is part of my past life. I cannot forget it. And I cannot atone for that evil. But nor can I compound it by condemning those poor souls to a punishment devised by their fellow man. They'll answer for their sins to a greater justice.
Duggan, I haven't come all this way to listen to a lot of pseudo-religious drivel.
You asked to see me.
Right. And now I'm asking you again for the names of the people you work for. Where they hide out. And where the arms dumps are. And how it's getting into the country.
And I'm not going to tell you.
Look at it this way, Duggan. Those bastards are bombing women and children. It's not a war. It's a campaign of intimidation against innocent people. Just think of the brownie points you could earn with God if you were the one to put a stop to all that.
I'll sort out my own salvation.
Okay, but what about when they talk about the joy in heaven when a sinner turns over a new leaf?
It says nothing about a sinner shopping his mates. I mean, does anybody know what happened to Judas Iscariot?
He hanged himself. I thought you'd have known that.
Well, that's what I'd be doing if I were to cooperate with you lot. You've had 7 long years to work on me, Sergeant. You've got nothing. And you're getting nothing. Do you understand that?
Oh, I understand a great deal. I don't believe one word of your conversion to God or any of that rubbish. You're a murderer. I wouldn't care if you were only one of their errand boys. You've got the same blood in your hands as the people that plant the bombs.
I don't have to listen to
this. No, well, listen to this. When you walk out of here, don't believe for one minute that you're a free man, because we are never going to let you go. And neither are your murdering friends.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow.
Well, I hope so. Because you know something else, Duggan? I'm going to let it be known that you have talked, have given me names.
You lying bastard copper!
And what are your friends going to do then?
They'd know I'd never say nothing.
Well, that's a chance you'll have to take. Mind you, if you do give me the information I want, we'll do everything we can to keep you alive.
And do you honestly believe that they wouldn't reach me?
Well, it's either us or them. And you know that they're killers.
Can I go now?
You're as good as a free man, Duggan.
Oh, Sergeant.
Yes?
The name. It's been worrying me. Aster. An unusual name. Do you know a man, Crenshaw? Oh, you do. Benny Crenshaw. I've seen a lot of him this past year or more. He often talks of the man who put him away. And of the man's wife.
Does he?
A violent man, Sergeant. A man who harbours evil in his soul. May the peace of God go with you, Sergeant.
But I have phoned, officer. I phone every day and still nothing's done to stop the man.
But you haven't talked to me, Mrs. Head.
Oh, I don't know who I talk to. All I know is that nothing's been done.
The calls will have been logged.
Well, what's the point of logging them if you don't do anything about them?
Perhaps there's nothing we can do.
What part of the world are you from?
I beg your pardon?
I said, where are you from?
I'm a Londoner.
Ah.
Yes. Now, if you'll just give me a moment, I'll have a look in the book.
Is there anybody else I could talk to?
I am perfectly capable to
deal with... Oh, he's foreign too.
Who is?
Mr. Lurgan, the man I'm telling you about.
Is Sergeant Aster in?
Oh, I'll phone his office, Inspector.
Don't bother, I'll check on my way.
Inspector?
Yes?
You're an inspector?
Yes. Is there a problem, Trench?
No, sir, it's quite all right.
It is not all right. I have phoned 3 times, and now I've come in to see you.
What is the problem, Mrs...
Mrs. Head.
What's the problem, Mrs. Head?
This man is still parking outside my house, and I've phoned 3 times.
Parking?
Still.
Why aren't you dealing with this, Trench?
I was dealing with it, sir.
You see, I'm an inspector, madam, CID.
Criminal Investigation Department. This man is a criminal.
It's not quite in my domain, Mrs...
Well, it must be in somebody's domain. I wasn't one of those people who refused to pay the poll tax, and I'm worse off under this new tax. I live in this big house by myself, and I don't believe for 1 minute that it's worth £100,000.
Constable?
So I'm entitled to park my car outside my own house. And I'm entitled to the full protection of the law, which is why I came in to see you.
Yes, yes. 1 moment, please, Mrs. Head. Constable Trench, what are you doing at this precise moment?
Well, I'm on the desk until I have my lunch, and then I'm...
Take Mrs. Head back home and sort this problem out once and for all. Take a car. You have my authority. This is your case, Trench.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Right. Thank you, Inspector. It always pays to go to the top. That's what I always say.
He's not in.
Yes, he is.
Well, he's not answering the door.
No, well, he wouldn't. They should have sent a plainclothes officer.
Let's have a look at his car.
There's plenty of room outside his own house.
Well, there is now. It's the middle of the day.
Then you should move it outside his house.
Yes. Now, where is your car?
Oh, I don't have a car.
I don't understand you.
I've never had a car.
Mrs. Head, if you haven't got a car, then what exactly is your problem?
I don't want him to park outside my house.
Well, I'm afraid that he's allowed to park wherever he wants, within the usual limitations, local restrictions, yellow lines, etc.
But not outside my house.
Yes. If you do not wish to park your car there, then he is perfectly entitled to leave his there. He is not causing an obstruction.
Then why do I pay my rates?
The new council tax covers everything.
He's a terrorist.
Who is?
He is. Mr. Lurgan.
How do you know that?
He's Irish.
Mrs. Head! I have to get back to the station. I haven't had any lunch. I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do.
He has visitors all hours of the night, never during the day.
That doesn't mean that he's a terrorist.
Check him out. You'll see. His name is Lurgan. I asked the postman. He might be running a brothel.
Yes. Well, I'll have my lunch first, then I'll check him out, Mrs. Head. Now, I do have to get back.
And Constable, I want that car moved.
Why are you telling me all this, Trench?
You asked me to go and sort
it out. Well, you seem to have done everything that was necessary.
But I did make a couple of phone calls, sir.
Did you?
Yes, just out of interest, I had a check run on passenger lists over the past few weeks. A man, Lurgan, arrived through Belfast about 10 days ago. And our man is renting the house and paid 3 months' cash in advance.
Well, that doesn't make him a terrorist. Or a brothel keeper. What have the Garda got on him?
The Garda, sir.
If you are looking for a terrorist.
That sort of inquiry is not within my jurisdiction, sir.
Well, make it within your jurisdiction, Constable. You seem to have time to spare on little old ladies and innocent tourists. Use your time, your spare time, to make some useful inquiries. Get a full description of this man, Lurgan.
Where would I get that, sir?
Well, where would you think, Constable?
Mrs. Head.
A good start. Now go away, and when you have something concrete to tell me, tell me.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Fred, for no better reason other than that I have a nasty, suspicious mind, Oh. Then where is Sergeant Astor? What? Well, why on earth didn't he tell me? What? Well, of course I would have stopped him if he'd told me. Damn.
A known terrorist, Terence Duggan, is released from prison to all intents and purposes a reformed man. However, according to Sergeant Astor, that is a lot of daft blether. A colourful phrase.
I trust his judgment, Superintendent. And you and I were not exactly impressed.
Yes, quite. And now you tell me you haven't been able to contact him since his release.
No, I didn't say that, ma'am. What I said was that he never even arrived at the address agreed with the authorities.
Well, I certainly want him found, Inspector. And quickly.
I don't think we will find him. I think he's gone to ground.
How did you lose him?
The prison authorities failed to notify me of his exact time of release.
And who do you suppose is going to carry the can?
Well, I haven't got the manpower
quite. And then you tell me that an Irishman, recently arrived from Belfast, is causing parking problems in a suburban street.
No, ma'am. Since he arrived, there have been nocturnal comings and goings at the house. That apart, the man doesn't seem to leave the house. He has no job. And 3 months' rent in advance is too much to be paying if he's a simple tourist.
And our colleagues in the Garda have nothing on anybody called Lurgan. This sounds very much like one of your hunches. You know how I feel about hunches, Inspector.
Well, that's why I came to see you, ma'am.
Trying to pass the buck upwards.
No, ma'am. I wanted to talk to somebody. And my sergeant's vanished on 3 days' leave.
It all seems remarkably tenuous. On the other hand, in today's climate, I don't like suspicious Irishmen wandering around in my patch unaccounted for. Put somebody on him for a few days.
Who? Well, that's my other problem, ma'am. My troops really are very thin on the ground.
What about this Constable Trench?
No. He's uniformed.
Well, he must have some civilian clothes. And he seems to have acquitted himself well enough so far.
It's a CID job.
It's a simple observation job.
I don't think Constable Trench...
Well, I do.
Constable Trench is too... inexperienced.
What are your options?
Sergeant Astor...
is not here. And it's a straightforward observation job. Inspector, are you all right?
Yes. Yes, I'm fine. Thank you.
You looked as if somebody had walked over your grave.
Really? Good. Constable Trench, it is then.
Good. Anything else, Inspector?
No, ma'am.
Just one thing. If this does turn out to be a lot of daft blether, we are going to look very foolish.
3 days off. Without so much as a by your leave.
They must have had a good reason, knowing Fred.
We're meant to be a team, Margaret. How can you be a team when one's playing a totally different game to the other?
You admitted that you would probably have tried to stop him. And in any case, you often take days off without consulting him.
I don't have to consult him. I have a higher rank. What can be so urgent back in Scotland that he has to go rushing up there without telling me?
Well, what do you think?
I've no idea.
Really, Ronald? Where are those keen analytical faculties that you pride yourself on so much?
No doubt dulled by the responsibility of having to solve all the crime in the area single-handed.
He's gone to see his wife.
Carrie?
You were the one who told me about the problems he was having. What was that man called? The one she went off with?
Oh, of course, stupid of me. Well, I want him back. I'm reduced to using a complete novice on an important observation job.
What is it exactly that worries you about this Constable Trench?
He's young.
I see.
No, it's not what you're thinking. Yes, he can't wait to get my job. He's Bramshill College material, and he thinks he knows it all already, but he doesn't. The only way to learn about being a copper is out on the street. If he fouls up on this... I trust Fred, Margaret. How could they let Benny Crenshaw out of prison at a time like this?
How did you find me?
I'm a copper.
Yes. Would you like a cup of anything? A tea or a coffee?
Don't suppose you've anything a wee bit stronger?
No. I'm sorry, my budget doesn't run to it.
Would you like to go?
No.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
No, I mean, how are you managing?
Ugh, I manage. I have a job. I'm back hairdressing.
You know that I'd always...
I don't want it, Fred.
No, of course.
Is that why you've come all this way?
No. I had some business in Glasgow that I couldn't really settle on the phone.
Fred Astor, for a policeman, you're a terrible liar.
Well, I managed to make you laugh.
Even when you came back with those wonderful stories, I always knew you'd been in the pub.
You'd been at home more often.
No, Fred. It wasn't me. It wasn't you. It was us.
Carrie, you knew what you were getting into.
No, I didn't. You have to be married to a policeman to know. Nobody can ever tell you.
But you wanted me to go for the promotion. You remember the champagne when I made sergeant? Yeah, that was the pair eyes gone in one night.
I remember it all, Fred. I remember all of it.
Listen, let me take you out for a meal. You remember the Greek place?
Yes, and I'm sure they remember you.
I didn't realise they give you special plates and things to chuck on the floor.
I was so embarrassed.
Well, maybe the Italian, please.
No.
Carrie.
You've come back to see whether we can make a go of it again. I don't want to make a go of it again.
Benny Crenshaw.
Ah, I'd had enough before Benny Crenshaw came along.
He's coming out next week.
Oh, I see. That's why you came to see me.
He served his full time, no remission.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Fred, I don't think you'll be able to find me.
There are simple ways, electoral rolls.
Oh, even if he does find me, I'll tell him what I'm telling you. I don't want to see him again. I was very stupid, I didn't realise. Seeing him in prison.
He's a very violent man.
Well, I know that now.
Carrie.
First a policeman and then a violent criminal. At the moment, I'm looking for something somewhere in the middle. And if I don't find anybody...
I love you, Carrie. That's what I came all this way to tell you.
Thank you. But there's no point. Please go now. And please, don't come looking for me again.
Who's relieving you at the moment?
Constable Peters. I thought I'd have a shower, maybe a bite of breakfast before getting back there.
How long have you been on duty?
Oh, I don't know, sir. 18 hours? It's not important. I'm enjoying myself.
You didn't become a policeman to enjoy yourself, Trench.
But it helps, sir.
So does sleep. Tell me what you have to report and then get your head down for a few hours.
Yes, sir. Police Constable Peters and myself took up our position in Villa Park Road yesterday afternoon.
You parked a large police car outside Lurgan's house.
No, sir.
I'm sorry. I'm suffering from a lack of sleep myself.
We were in an unmarked car. However, there was a difficulty, as Mrs. Head seems to be sensitive about strange cars being parked in her street.
What happened?
She came across to investigate, and when she saw it was me... She insisted on making us a pot of tea and bringing it to us.
Good grief.
I was able to explain the nature of our mission, and everything seemed to be going well until it became dark, when she came out to us again to ask if we were warm enough, and could she bring us a hot water bottle apiece.
I don't believe this.
Well, she was trying to be helpful, sir. We are taught that the cooperation of the public...
And what was Lurgan doing all this time, serving you Irish coffee and soda bread?
I don't think he was aware of our presence, sir.
Perhaps you should have dropped a note through his door.
You see... One of the things that I noticed in the course of the day was that he didn't leave the house at all, except on two occasions to make phone calls from a public call box, yet he has a phone installed in the house.
Operational?
Yes, sir.
Strange.
Yes, sir. Almost as if he didn't want to chance his own phone being tapped.
And are you trying to tell me that, if he's that careful, he didn't notice you having your tea party with Mrs. Head?
I don't think he did, sir. You see, after her second interruption, I decided to change cars and park on the opposite side of his house.
Good procedure.
Yes, sir. And now comes the good news. At 1:30 in the morning, he did have a visitor.
Who was it?
I don't know, sir.
Camera?
Well, yes, sir, but I didn't get it until I changed cars, and it's not infrared.
Damn.
But I have the man's car number. A red Renault, H registration. I'm having it checked out.
How long was the man there?
Not long, sir. He was in the house for around 20 minutes. Then both men came out and inspected Lurgan's old banger. It's a Ford Escort. Y registration. And legitimate. Bought second-hand for £450.
Just the sort of car they might use.
Who, sir?
Well, if you're going to blow up a car, you'd either steal one or buy an old banger.
Well, then you do
think... I don't think anything at the moment, Constable. Everything's far too circumstantial to have anything other than an open mind. What do you mean, these men inspected the car? Presumably he wasn't trying to sell it.
Oh, I don't think so, sir. They just opened the doors and then locked them again and tested that they were locked. And then they checked the boot.
Hmm. I suppose you were too far away to see inside.
Oh, they didn't open the boot, sir. They just checked that it was firmly locked.
Right. Well, if Flurgan shows his face today, I want a photograph. Change your camera for one that will photograph any of his night callers as well. Then get some sleep.
Sir?
You've done quite well up to now, Trench, but you need to be alert. Get some sleep.
But I can sleep in the car.
Look, I'm in charge, remember?
Yes, sir.
Now, what's the bad news?
The bad news?
Well, you said that was the good news. There's always bad news.
Oh, well, I suppose the bad news is that Lurgan isn't running a brothel.
Presumably you've read this?
Yes, ma'am.
Depressing reading, wouldn't you say, Inspector?
Oh, I've read worse. The Sheehy report?
Sometimes I find your seeming indifference extremely irritating, Inspector.
I apologise. I assure you it's only a semblance of indifference. The alternative would be to go mad.
Yes, well, risk your sanity for a moment and consider some of these figures. 536 break-ins, including cars. 27 arrests.
Oh, that's not bad, ma'am. Not much of it's serious. Most of it's instantly disposable stuff. A few pounds to buy another drink or a meal or a fix. They're kids. They're homeless and they're out of work.
I didn't ask for a political tract. I merely asked you to respond to these figures. They do us very little credit.
And I gave you my response. Politicians make the laws and create the conditions that make it impossible for us to police them effectively.
Now, what's this business at Salo's nightclub?
We put up notices that car thieves are operating in the area, and they continue to leave handbags displayed on the front seats. Do they expect us to have a copper patrolling every car park in the New Forest?
Yes, Inspector.
Well, I'm sorry, ma'am. You mentioned my indifference.
The business at Salo's nightclub.
Well, no more than it says there. A private function, stag party. Unfortunately, the stripper was an ex-girlfriend of the groom. Groom was drunk, stripper was frisky, brother of bride decided to defend sister's honour.
I think I get the picture.
6 arrests, all released on their own surety in order to attend the wedding at 3 o'clock today.
Do you think we ought to police the reception?
I don't think any of them will be causing any trouble today. Even the bride might be disappointed tonight when it comes up. Yes, well, I think everything will be...
Good. And Sergeant Jenkins and WPC Cole?
Both released from hospital and back on duty on Monday.
How many officers are tied down with your suspicious Irishman?
3. One always on relief. I can't do it effectively with less.
Nothing on Duggan?
Vanished off the face of the earth.
And Lurgan himself?
Nothing. Except that his behaviour is not normal. I hope to have a photograph sometime today. He never leaves the house except to make the occasional phone call.
Waiting for somebody?
Possibly. He does receive visitors at night. I hope to get some idents on them.
Your Constable Trench seems to have acquitted himself very well.
It's a perfectly straightforward observation job.
Yes. Well, I'll continue with the surveillance until we get something definite. Thank you, Inspector.
We may not get anything definite.
Then we should have wasted our time. That's something that doesn't show up on reports when we're trying to defend our success rate.
I'll keep you informed, ma'am.
Thank you. Cricket.
Ma'am?
Cricket. I rely on cricket to help me cope in the midst of all this madness.
Really? You must be going through a very trying time at the moment.
I did have a couple of hours. I didn't want to miss anything.
You look terrible.
Well, you don't get a chance like this every day, Jeff.
Who needs it?
I want to get into CID.
And who needs that? Look, Terry, you've got a nice cushy job sitting behind a desk... You're bound to make sergeant one day. Keep your head down and live to see your retirement in one piece. What does your girlfriend say?
She agrees with me. There are places you can't walk. Sally's grandmother had her handbag snatched in the street by some kid on a bike. She's old. She's never really got over it.
And what's your excuse? Oh, don't pay any attention to me, Terry. Go for it and good luck to you.
He's coming out.
He's going for the phone again.
Here, are you sure you can operate this?
Give it here!
Get him on the way back.
Don't teach your granny to suck eggs. Now then.
Who do you suppose he's phoning?
His dear old mother in Ireland. How should I know? I'll tell you one thing, though. Either he has no idea he's under Obbo, or he doesn't give a damn.
I am sorry about tomorrow, Margaret.
I'm used to it.
We're desperately short-handed. But in any case, I have to be on hand if our man makes a move.
Why don't you just go in and arrest him?
Well, you know why.
This is not just one of your excuses, is it, Ronnie?
Of course not. I could trust Fred Astor if he were here, but as it is...
It's just that it seems to happen every time.
I can't help it, Margaret. Anyway, you'll give your mother my best wishes.
I've got all tomorrow off.
It sounds a lovely idea.
Then what about it?
You know, I'm not prepared to start anything serious, yeah?
I'm not suggesting anything serious. I'm just suggesting that we spend the day together. Mm. In the evening, we go to this Italian restaurant that I know.
And then what?
WPC, Cathy Pegram, you are a difficult woman.
I'm not. I'd just like to know what I'm getting into.
All right. After the meal, we go back to your place and I'll tear off all your clothes.
I'm being serious.
You think I'm not?
What I'm trying to say is that I don't want to be anybody's second best.
You mean Carrie?
Yeah.
Cathy, things are over between us.
Why did you go to Glasgow? Well, do you still love her?
We've been married 11 years. We were kids together.
And you're still in love with her?
I wanted to make sure she was all right.
Mm, and to find out whether she still loved you.
She made it quite clear that our marriage was over.
Has she found another chap?
No. There was somebody.
And there isn't any more?
No.
Do you believe her?
I hope for her sake there isn't. The man's a violent criminal.
She sounds like a bad picker. First you and then a villain. Oh, I didn't mean that. Oh, you look like a wounded Highland Terrier.
What about tomorrow?
Oh, Fred, you're a nice man. I like you, but I'm not prepared. You know, well, people get hurt. I don't need that. Nor do I need a grown man crying into my pasta.
I'm not crying. Look, we're both adult people. I've hardly talked to a woman since Carrie and I broke up. Not because I'm virtuous or anything like that. It seems to me that the moment two people smile at each other across a crowded room, somebody's going to end up disappointed.
Mm, that sounds encouraging.
But not necessarily hurt.
Fred,
nobody can live like this forever. I'm prepared to take my chances out in the wicked world again if you'll take a chance on me.
I do like Italian food.
Well, this place is great. It's actually a converted train shed.
But I'm not going to bed with you afterwards.
Oh, look, Cathy.
Look, I'm not virtuous either, but when that happens, if it happens, it'll be my choice. And only when I'm sure that's what I want.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. One thing at a time. We can discuss it after the Italian restaurant.
Fred Astor!
Oh, shh, don't shout. People are looking. Have another gin and tonic.
Good photographs, Trench. Well done.
Actually, sir, it was Detective Constable Peters that took them. I wasn't too sure about the camera.
Oh, you needn't have worried. These cameras are idiot-proof.
Just that I'm used to a more up-to-date model, sir.
Really? Well, you'll soon get used to our archaic methods, Constable. When I was a lad, we used to hope the suspect would stand still long enough for us to get an artist's impression.
At Ashford, we had...
These two and this one, have them faxed to our colleagues in the Republic. Explain the urgency. Tell them we're looking for a possible known terrorist.
What if they don't come up with anything, sir?
Well, then you're back on the desk in double-quick time. I can't afford to have valuable men tied up on an off chance.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Don't misunderstand me, Constable. At the moment, anybody upright and breathing is a valuable man. Right, get on with that.
Yes, sir.
Sir?
Ah, Sergeant Quinn, come in.
Sergeant. Terry. You wanted to see me, sir?
Yes, I was looking at this report.
Yeah, not too bad for a Saturday night, sir. Give me a rainy one any time.
Oh?
Yes, sir. It's too wet for a decent punch-up. What is it Shakespeare said? Drink increases the ardour, but a cold shower soon cools it down?
Shakespeare?
Him or somebody else. Anyway, the rain certainly sent most of them home to their wives last night.
Yes. I'm intrigued by this one.
Ah, yes.
A grounded swan?
In Dunbridge. Apparently it had been strutting up and down the village street for an hour. Brought the place to a standstill and nobody could get near it.
So two flying squad cars were dispatched?
Yeah. Well, it would have to be the flying squad, wouldn't it, sir?
Yes. Very good, Sergeant. Two of them?
Well, both happened to be in the area.
And Constable Ferris?
Very nasty bites on the hand and the leg. He'll be back on duty in a day or two.
I'm stretched to the limit and I lose another man to an angry swan.
There's nothing we can do about it, sir. One of the most important aspects of our job is still helping old ladies across the road.
Yes, I am aware, Sergeant. Well, at least there's not a great deal to follow up. I can spend some time catching up on my own paperwork.
Well, Sundays are a bit bloody, aren't they, sir?
The alternative was worse. Thank you, Sergeant.
Sir?
Oh, by the way, how is the aggrieved bird?
Oh, absolutely fine, sir. Here, we got it back into the nearby river, and it was last seen gliding away as calm and sedate as a...
A swan?
Yes, sir. A swan.
Another coffee?
No, thank you. That was a wonderful meal, Fred. It really is a fun place.
I'll get the bill.
Oh, I wish you'd let me pay...
No, my treat, we agreed.
Signor.
The bill, please.
Si, signor. You want more coffee?
No, thank you.
Nothing else?
No.
Oh, okay. It was only two sambuca.
Oh, that was enough. But it was a wonderful meal.
Is your first time here, signor?
Yeah.
Then you come again, eh?
Well, I hope so. Calf's liver was melting the mouth.
Of course, it's genuine Italian calf's liver.
Come on.
Signorina, when the cow comes to the restaurant this morning, it was talking Italian.
It'll have to be plastic.
Of course, momento.
Oh, I feel very happy. Not sure whether I shall fit the uniform tomorrow. No. I threw caution to the winds with that zablioni.
I've just enjoyed the whole day, Carrie. Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Kathy, I didn't... Oh, damn.
It's all right. It's all right, Fred. I know. Give me your hand. Look, I do understand.
I have had a really great day.
So have I. And now I think you'd better order me a taxi.
Yes. Yeah, sure. I was going to...
And... Would you ask him if he can drop me off at your place? I told you I'd thrown caution to the winds.
Kathy.
You don't think it's a good idea?
Oh, no, yes, yes. I just, my place is a bit... Can't we go to your place?
No, that's my territory. I'm not ready for that yet.
I've only got a single bed.
Oh, so I should hope.
But it would be better.
But I could change my mind.
Signor!
Yes. You know, after I take her out for a meal like this, she's still giving me a hard time.
I never understand women, signor. They never know when they got a good deal.
Yeah, that's for you.
Oh, grazie. Buona notte.
Yeah, mate. And I would remind you, WPC Pegram, that I'm a superior rank.
Nonsense. Underneath it all, you're still only a man.
Ronnie?
Sorry. I was trying not to disturb you.
I was still awake. You can turn on the light.
It's all right. I undressed in the bathroom.
You're very late.
It's been a very long, boring day. But at least I managed to shift a lot of paperwork.
Did you eat?
Yes, a cold pasty and a packet of crisps.
Spring onion flavour.
Oh, dear. I cleaned my teeth.
Mummy sends you her love.
How is she?
Much the same.
That's what I feared.
Oh, you are rude about her. Glad you had a boring day.
Too quiet. I get the feeling something's going to explode.
This is the bit I hate. At least there's things going on around you during the day.
I'm enjoying it. It's exciting knowing that any minute something might happen.
Oh, you're an hopeless case, Terry. Why don't you have a bit of shut-eye?
Oh, no. No, that's the first rule. That's what we're here for, to keep each other awake. If one goes, the other goes, and you can bet your pension that's when your man makes his move.
Hmm. I must read the rule book one day.
Hmm. What do you think he's up to?
Logan? Faster kipping his piss if he's got any sense.
Do you like word games?
Oh, God, help me. The whole world is snuggled up into somebody else's arms, and I'm locked up with a Scrabble fanatic.
Come. Good morning, Inspector.
Morning, ma'am.
You're late. Look at this. Waiting for me when I got in from the Garda.
Lurgan.
Eamon Canally. Known IRA activist, but believed to be no more than an errand boy. No direct implication with any so-called military activity.
Looks as if we were right.
Always makes one feel a little better.
Do you want him brought in?
No. I want to find out what he's up to. Who have we got on him at the moment?
Constable Trench and DC Peters.
Yes. Take Trench off. Tell him he's done a good job, but I want Sergeant Astor on it now. Time for the professionals to move in. Where is he?
Astor? I don't know. I came directly to you. He's back today.
Yes, but when? He wasn't in when I got in, and I've left messages for him. I don't know what time my personnel think the day's work starts. Beecham. Yes, he is. It's for you.
Coleman. I see. Right. You stick to that car like a leech, do you understand? Stay in constant radio contact, and if you lose him, your head's on a plate. You don't approach him, but I'd rather have him nicked than lost. Have you got that? Right, I'm on my way.
Canally?
Yes. He's on the move. Bergen, Canally, whatever his name is. He's in the car. Constable Trench is with him.
Is he up to it, Trench?
I have every confidence in him, ma.
In any case, DC Peters is with him, isn't he?
Suspect is heading south. I think it's south. Down Bassett Avenue. Yes, it is. It's south. I'm sorry, I don't know this area. Anyway, he's heading in the general direction of the city centre. He stopped at the lights, corner of... Oh, damn, I can't quite see it from here. Look, I'm four cars behind him. Oh, no, there's a bloody motorbike.
The car's waiting, sir.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Where the hell is Astor?
Well, I don't think he's coming.
I'm aware of that. The second he comes in, he gets the car and joins me. Is that understood?
Yes, sir.
I just hope to God that DC Peters is half competent.
This is Constable Trench. Suspect's car is still parked outside Marks and Spencer's, waiting for further instructions. Over. Oh, hello. Constable Trench again. It's all right. Inspector Coleman is here. Over. Hello, sir.
Any developments?
The suspect parked his car and went into Marks and Spencer's about 6 or 7 minutes ago. That's it there, sir. The green Ford Consul.
Ah, yes, got it. Peters is with him, is he?
No, sir.
Where is he?
I don't know, sir.
What do you mean you don't know?
Oh, well, sir, DC Peters had just gone to, answer a call of nature when the suspect left the house and got into the car.
Who is with Lurgan?
Well, you instructed me to stay with the car, sir.
Good grief.
I thought about it, sir. You see, I'm certain that he only put one coin into the meter, which means that he intends to come back within 20 minutes.
Lurgan is more correctly known as Eamon Canally, a known IRA activist. Now, what are we going to do if he doesn't come back to his car? Hmm? Or doesn't go back to his house. Perhaps go straight back to Ireland without paying the parking penalty. What are we going to do, Trench? Well, what would they do at Bram's Hill? Do you know that there is a back entrance to Marks and Spencer's as well as a front entrance?
No, sir.
Excuse me, are you going to leave that parking space?
What?
I'm looking for somewhere to park.
Well, not here, madam.
Is there a car park anywhere?
I beg your pardon?
Is there a car park?
I really don't know, madam. Find a policeman.
Shall I go and look for him, sir?
No. No, he was gone the moment he entered that shop. I told you not to lose him. Give me that radio. What call sign?
Sierra Hotel 03, sir.
Right. Now listen to me carefully. My car is parked round that corner. On the back seat, there is a loudhailer. I want this area cleared quickly and quietly. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
And there is no need for anybody to panic. I don't want any panic. Quickly and quietly. Got that?
Yes, sir.
This is Sierra Hotel 03. Sierra Hotel 03.
Receiving you, Sierra Hotel 03. Over.
This is Inspector Coleman. I have a suspect car. City Centre, next door to Marks and Spencer's. I need maximum assistance. Alert Royal Naval Bomb Disposal. Alert all police stations to listen for coded warning call. Open a direct line to Superintendent Beecham. Over.
Understood, sir. Over and listening.
Where the hell have you been?
I slept in, sir.
3 days' leave and you oversleep.
I'm sorry, sir. What's going on?
I think I may have a bomb. Green Ford Consul parked at the side of Marks and Spencer's.
Oh, got it. Have we had a warning?
I am a police officer. I repeat, I am a police officer. I want this area cleared as quickly as possible. Calmly and quietly, please. Please clear this area as quickly as possible.
Thank God he's getting something right.
I repeat...
We need a uniformed man. They don't believe him.
If you will withdraw in an orderly fashion in the direction of the Odeon Cinema. In an orderly fashion, thank you.
There, sir.
Thank you.
There.
What?
Look, look, there, sir. Just standing there. Duggan.
Where?
Down. He's gone. It was him, sir. Terence Duggan just standing there, looking sort of lost. He's gone now into the crowd.
The area is totally clear, ma'am. Shops and offices clear. All roads in the vicinity are now sealed off. I have maximum...
Sir!
What is it?
Terry Trench.
What? Please hold, ma'am. I have a problem.
What problem, Inspector?
What does he think he's doing?
I have no idea.
He's approaching the car. What on earth is he up to, Fred?
Terry!
Constable Trench!
It's all right, sir.
Constable Trench, get away from that car!
It's all right, sir. I've done an explosives course.
Terry!
Sir,
what the hell?
He's trying to kick the boot open.
I don't believe that raving idiot.
Terry, come...
Get down, Fred, for Christ's sake, get down!
Sir? Inspector Coleman, sir.
My God. He's done it. He's got the boot open.
Sir, would you come and have a look at this, sir?
Inspector Coleman.
What?
Inspector Coleman.
Yes?
I was told to report you, sir. Lieutenant Jennings. Royal Navy Bomb Disposal.
Well. Hello, sailor.
Marijuana, cocaine, crack. As a conservative estimate, a street value of well over a million.
Destined for the Republic.
Who can say? Wherever there's a market. One thing is certain. Eventually it would have ended up as guns and explosives in the hands of the IRA, a routine method of financing the armed wing.
And where does Duggan fit in? Sergeant Astor is quite certain he saw him there.
Oh, it's no more than an intelligent guess, Inspector. I suggest it's a question of protecting the chains of command. We can assume that Lurgan or Canali didn't know his superiors... If we'd picked him up with a car, he literally could not have told us who he was delivering to.
And Duggan does know who the big boys are.
Certainly he does. The timing of the operation coincided with his release from prison, so they took the opportunity of using him as a cutout.
Obviously, those were the daily phone calls that Lurgan was making.
Yes. Once Duggan was certain he'd avoided any possible police observation, he arranged for the delivery to be made.
How unfortunate that we had entrusted Police Constable Trench with the case.
Yes. Is he outside?
Yeah.
What do I do, Ronald?
I'm relieved to say that you're in charge, ma'am.
Yes. Let's have him in.
Right. Come in. Oh. Constable Trench, ma'am.
Constable, you have been guilty of a gross act of folly. Furthermore, you willfully disobeyed a direct order from a superior officer. As a result, you placed your own life and possibly the lives of many other people at risk. Do you have any explanation to offer for your actions?
No, sir.
You don't deny any of these accusations?
No, sir.
And you understand the nature of the accusations and their seriousness?
Yes, sir.
Inspector Coleman?
You said at the time something about having done a course on explosives. Are you offering that as some sort of mitigation?
No, sir. I did... No, sir.
Are you able to offer anything in your own defence?
No, sir.
Inspector, do you have anything to say regarding Constable Trench's previous record?
Oh, yes, ma'am. He has always proved to be very conscientious, very knowledgeable within his limited experience. It is possible that he was entrusted with a responsibility that he was not yet prepared for. Therefore, I must take some of the responsibility for today's events.
Yes. Yes, I am perfectly aware of that. You will please inform them that I should be prepared to make a statement very shortly. The world's press, in the shape of two local television companies, is baying for some comment.
Just the beginning, ma'am.
Yes, the interest won't be confined to local news. Constable Trench, I am requiring you to take immediate leave pending a more extensive inquiry into today's events. In the meantime, you will not speak to any member of the press under any circumstances. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
And will you please stop calling me sir?
Yes.
Right, you may go.
Yes, yes. Thank you, sir.
Wait outside, Constable.
Yes, sir.
Thanks to that young man, we've lost two terrorists and gained a major drug haul. What's more, there's a danger he'll be made into a national hero.
I think it's more of a certainty, knowing the tabloids.
Oh, get him out of here, quickly and quietly. He mustn't talk to anybody until this thing is settled internally. Then we must present a united front to the media.
Yes, ma'am.
And I appreciate your comments concerning the responsibilities involved. They rest as much with me as with you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Which makes me ask why you didn't wait for a coded warning before clearing the area. One of your hunches? Think about it, Ronald. It's a question that's bound to be asked.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, my God.
You wanted a word,
sir. Oh, Trench. Yes. You bloody little fool. I can't think what possessed you to do what you did. Crass stupidity. Thank goodness the whole matter's now out of my jurisdiction. Get your things together. You're on leave as from this instant. Leave by the rear of the building. Do not talk to the press. I suggest you visit distant relatives in Siberia, perhaps.
Yes, sir.
And should our paths never cross again, congratulations on your misdeeds this morning.
Thank you, sir. And, sir, I...
Yes, Constable.
I realise now that I should have used my radio in...
Enjoy your leave, Constable.
Thank you, sir.
Good grief.
Hey, Terry.
Oh,
how'd it go?
Oh, hello, Sarge.
How'd it go?
Well, not too badly. They gave me some leave.
There'll be an inquiry.
Yes.
Why did you do it, Terry?
Well, I thought it out, Sarge. You see, I reckoned that it wasn't a bomb. They would never have left it outside the house all that time if it was already primed. And Logan never touched anything from the moment he got into the car until the time he left it outside the store. I just reckoned it wasn't a bomb. The inspector had got it wrong.
Oh, you can be an arrogant little beggar sometimes, Terry. Why don't you just learn to keep your head down?
Well, because he frightens me.
Who?
Inspector Coleman. I know he doesn't like me, and I get nervous. I just wanted so much to get something right. I've been thinking of asking for a transfer ever since he got here.
Don't let the buggers get you down. This isn't your police college. And wherever you go, you'll find a lot worse than him. Look, what about this wee lassie of yours? Why not see if she can get away for a few days with you?
She can't often get away.
Try. I can tell you that when the world is looking a really cold place, there's nothing like a warm wee body to snuggle up to.
You reckon?
It's not in the manual, but take my word for it, Terry.
No-coded warning was received, but Inspector Coleman is prepared to take responsibility.
That's the fourth time I've had to watch it.
And I
Another drink?
No, thank you. She does come across well.
She spent 15 minutes getting her makeup right. She may well be the crisp and efficient police superintendent, but Babs is a very feminine creature underneath it all.
I'm sure she is. But she handled that business about the lack of a warning well.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't duck it. And she's right. Better safe than sorry.
Yes. I think I will have one more. It's been an exciting day.
How's Fred Astor?
Missed all the hard work and got back in time for the cameras.
I meant, how was his leave? Did he go to see his wife?
Well, he has a sparkle in his eye and a spring in his step that tells me that he's resolved that problem.
I hope so. Everybody seems to have been acting very strangely. I should imagine you'll be relieved to get back to reality.
Oh, I've wrestled with reality for 35 years, and I'm happy. I finally won out over it.
Oh, dear. The Marx Brothers?
James Stewart in Harvey.
Oh, well. I can see why you would identify with that. Wasn't Harvey a large white rabbit?
Yes. What do you mean?
I'm going to bed. Good night, Ronald.
Fools Rush In the Coleman and Astor series starred Stephen Thorne as Inspector Coleman and Joe Dunlop as Sergeant Astor. Margaret Coleman was played by Diana Bishop, Superintendent Beecham, Francis Jeter, and P.C. Trench, Nicholas Bolton. Terence Duggan, Anthony Jackson, Mrs. Head, Marianne Morley, Carrie, Sally Kinghorn, Kathy, Rachel Atkins, and D.C. Peters, Michael Onslow. Quinn, Tom Bevan, the waiter, Paul Panting, and the naval officer, Lyndon Gregory. Coleman and Astor is written by Michael McStay. Theme music by Stephen Warbeck. Technical presentation by Richard Beedsmore and Keith Graham, assisted by David Blount and Rebecca Kirby. The series producer was Jane Morgan and the director, Ned Shyer.